folks. Welcome to this month's edition of Real Geeks, where we are filming from the My Gender is Cinema Studios because the library didn't have enough staff to help us.
Which is always good. Always good.
So always remember, when you support your local library, you're also supporting amateur hours like this one.
So we don't have to film in my mom's basement.
Yeah, we thought for this month we'd just go like that little bit nerdier. Anyhow, I am of course Mike Montgomery, and I am joined by our resident champagne problem, Mickey Gorman, and our ice cold can of whoop ass Paula. Yes. We're here to discuss, actually, the first of two films this month, or as I said last month, again, My Christmas is Coming Early, where we'll be looking at Fast and Furious Presents Luke and Hobbs.
No, Fast and Furious and Presents Eye Candy.
Or, as I meant to say the first time, Hobbs and Shaw. So, the plot of Mission Impossible 2... No, wait, hold on. The plot of Hobbs and Shaw. Look, let's be honest. The two movies have basically the same plot, so yeah, it's easy to get them mixed up.
Yeah, it's not a very original film, but we're not here for that.
No!
What are you saying? Hollywood just regurgitates scripts?
Never. Never.
No, that is a never thing that would happen. Every movie that has come out is an entirely original idea. And
totally,
how did I get
that
out with a straight face? So, our super weapon of the film is a super virus, because you know they've done the technical based apocalyptic disaster, so now we have to do the biological one, referred to as Snowflake, which
yeah.
I applaud them for actually.
It's that
name that's just so hilariously wrong.
It works best coming out, like, when it's first identified, I believe it's first identified by Ryan Reynolds. And so it makes sense there, where he has that, like, dramatic buildup and then goes, Snowflake. It's like, yes, perfect, wonderful, cut, print, I don't care.
So, the film starts with Vanessa Kirby's character, and I applaud myself because I think this is the first time I've actually remembered her name without trying.
Yay!
Hooray.
Leading an MI6 team to retrieve this virus before it can go up at an auction at the essentially terrorist black market of the week. The mission in and of itself is a success. After the mission, however, not so much.
Yeah.
Because it's at this point where Idris Elba shows up with what might be the greatest villain introduction ever.
Totally.
It was pretty damn
And it
good.
Has nothing to do with the black leather.
Well, I mean, that's going to depend on who you ask, let's be honest. But
it adds upon. It's a great steak that happens to be really well seasoned. That's what the black leather is. Seasoning and a very lovely steak all on top.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's the line you see in the trailer, where Hedy says, "Who the hell are you?" And Elba, as Brixton, just goes, "Bad guy." And this is also possibly one of the most honest moments in the entire Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because with the character of Brixton, beyond bad guy, you really don't need to know a whole lot more.
No. No. Well,
yeah, I mean, watching it, like, speaking of, Hollywood never repeats anything, this is the same character he played in Star Trek Beyond, and they just went...
Yeah, pretty much! So, he arrives, he wipes out everyone by himself with ease, because, like, it's a Fast and Furious movie, so of course he does. And she, however, has time to get back into the truck, inject the super virus into herself... because, again, Mission Impossible 2.
Yep.
And takes off, and oddly for an action film, hilarity ensues.
Now, to be fair, I mean, while he was managing all of her MI6 cohorts, that gave her the time to get back into the... Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Oh, no, it gave her enough time. And you're going to notice over the course of this review that we're going to be referring to an awful lot of other movies.
Because this movie likes to... Borrow.
Oh, very, very liberally.
Because don't know if it returns anything, but borrow.
Pretty much the next major scene with Idris Elba, and this is actually very interesting because of a bit of a trivia, but he returns to what is basically the villain lair of every Bond film ever, and he proceeds to basically... order that she is completely framed in the media, just utterly blacklisted. Again, if you've seen a Bond movie,
you know. Actually, if you've seen an Austin Powers movie, you can get a good deal of this.
Let's be honest, the plot here, I really don't need to describe it a whole lot, to be honest, because for the most part, this is a Bond film if the writers were on crystal meth, and. It exists for the sole purpose of letting The Rock and Jason Statham just go at each other verbally for an hour and a half.
Which they have great
and
chemistry.
I am very okay with this!
Yeah. What this really made me think of is, I think Fast and the Furious, like the first one, came out around the same time as the first XXX.
Yeah.
And while XXX bombed and died and was horrible and Vin Diesel was in it, it's just funny that Fast and the Furious has achieved what it was attempting, and again, Vin Diesel isn't in it.
I haven't seen all of the Fast and Furious movies. I tried. I really did try. I got as far as somewhere in the third one, and I said, I'm done. And it wasn't even like all in one shot. I knew I couldn't handle them all in one shot. So I parsed
them
out.
Oh, no.
And I love action movies. Yeah. I love... Action-adventure movies are my guilty pleasure. Shoot-em-up movies are my guilty pleasure. I couldn't get through it. So I stopped at 3, and the only reason why I watched this one is because of all the eye candy. I will freely admit that that's where my brain goes. But I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. It wasn't a total throwaway.
Oh.
So I don't know at what point in time the franchise got better.
Well, the ironic thing here is, in all honesty... it was right after 3.
Oh, okay. So I should just cut 3 out and start with 4?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I was just sitting here like, I should have warned you. Skip 2 and 3.
Now you tell
just
me.
Go, yeah,
now
just,
you tell
you
me.
Go 1 and then 4. We pretend 2 and 3 don't really exist.
Yeah, because those were really bad.
And like, chronologically, okay.
From what I understand, you are supposed to jump around.
Yeah, yeah. Like 3 occurs before 7 or 6 or something like that? Or... but like just before, and you're supposed to actually slide it in there or something? Yeah. I've only seen, like, the only previous Fast and the Furious I saw was Too Fast, Too Furious, which, again, piece of shit.
Oh.
Trying to be super serious race car.
I have, as an intelligent woman, I have a lot of problems with this franchise. Can I just leave it at that? And that'll be carte blanche explaining everything with my issue with these movies.
That would be an extra long episode of just, okay.
Yeah.
Going through the list.
Exactly. Like, the TNA aspect of it just alone was bothersome. Yeah. I'm thankful that this doesn't have the TNA aspect of it.
Or at least
one,
not
the
as much.
The weapons dealer is in lingerie the whole time.
Well,
it's just like,
and I'm sure that there is fashion tape between her skin and the fabric. Just, you know.
Basically.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't overt. She didn't have the Daisy Dukes, you know. So.
And, well, I think with that, we're going to go straight from general thoughts into the spoilers. And so we're going to put the spoiler warning right here because as much as I'm going to say, in your defense, continuity in this franchise means nothing.
Continuity what now?
But at the same time, the interesting thing is they do actually use this movie to kind of go back and fix the problems with the Deckard Shaw character.
Okay.
Because he was not originally a rogue MI6 agent.
So Statham's in more of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, he's a villain. They work by Goku logic in this series. So like, if you face a villain in the next episode, they're going to be your friend. Like your accepted ally. And then the next one, they're your friend. And then they're family.
spoiler warning already aside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they do say that he was set up.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So they do actually try to make some repairs, mm-hmm. which for this franchise is kind of impressive that they even bothered in the first place.
Yeah, because
if Statham's in other ones, does that mean that Idris Elba's in other ones?
No,
but he probably will be in the future, even though they killed him in this one. They're totally going to bring him back.
Oh, please.
And he'll
he's
be good.
A cyborg. You know he's going to come back.
Yeah, and they'll be like, I'm just tinkering in his brain. Now he's good.
Boop.
I'm a good boy.
Boop.
Not even I'm a good boy. He was fine. He just didn't live up to the potential that Etienne saw him in him. So, but, I mean, that's a lot of technology and a lot of hardware in that cyborg. So, chances are they're going to recover him.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, let's be honest. The way that this thing lifts from anything and everything, someone is going to pull him out of the water for the sole purpose of ripping off the Terminator franchise as much as possible.
Okay, so we've got MI6, we have CIA, we have Etienne, we have three different power forces that would probably go back and pick him up.
Yeah.
I mean, CIA and MI6, they might just do it just to see what the fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Can we duplicate this?
My money's actually on the Samoan family. They put him in the chop shop, and they put him back together and then, like, raise him. So by the time The Rock comes back, it's just like, yeah, he's essentially your brother now.
Well, I mean, to be fair, his brother did say he could fix anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe.
And when you consider the simple fact that apparently he can fix a recovery system for a virus.
With 3D printers.
Yeah.
Where did he get the specs? Were they available online?
This is a futuristic device. This man has never seen technology anywhere near this in his life.
To be fair, that family is magic because during the great climax with the helicopter, my problem isn't with trying to hold the helicopter with the trucks. I accept that as naturally stupid. My problem is that they just throw hooks and they land perfectly, and then we attach another one, and then blindly throw another one. Yeah!
And
boosh!
And then, of course, the chain comes loose, so, you know, we've got Superman here pulling Captain America.
Well, I was actually thinking, it's like, Captain America's more realistic because it's just taking off, he's trying to hold it there. This is a fully fucking armed, like, helicopter flown by an asshole who could just be like, hey, you want to see his arm come off?
Well, what I would say to that is this. There's a moment during the high-speed chase in London where The Rock opens the car door, pulls one of the pursuers off the bike at speed.
Yeah.
Smashes him into, what is it, a wall or a car or something? How is the guy still alive?
I looked at that and I couldn't help but think of Fast 8, where we see Hobbs open the vehicle door, redirect a torpedo.
I saw that with the door. He just got...
By hand!
Oh, for crying out loud.
This is like in a chase scene in the Arctic with a nuclear submarine and like trucks and dune buggies.
So this whole franchise is just there for the male appreciation. They're penis movies. Never mind dick movies. They're penis movies.
No, exactly. They are playing with Hot Wheels when you're four and going and throwing it across the room.
Yeah. Basically,
that would be where Ryan Reynolds comes in. But yeah, you're right. The chemistry between, we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, we have Jason Statham, we have Vanessa Kirby, who I adore.
Yeah.
We have Idris Elba, we have the uncredited Ryan Reynolds, who he's not listed in the IMDb for this movie, but it's on his own.
Yeah, when you mentioned in our group chat an uncredited cameo from an actor that we all love, I go onto the movie's IMDb. And the only uncredited person I see who could possibly be the actor in question is Kevin Hart.
And we don't love
him. And I'm sitting there going, I have questions.
And my response was, who's Kevin Hart?
But I also have to say that as much as this is, obviously a guy movie in every way.
Yes. Yes.
But at the same time, it's not exactly as if the women have been left out.
No, it's a modern
guy movie.
No,
because they have eye candy for us.
Yeah.
There's eye candy for the women in the audience.
And Vanessa Kirby's not dim.
Yeah, she's competent. She's never at any point like scantily doing anything. It's like
God's no.
Sensible outfits and capable. Okay.
Yeah.
And her fight scenes made sense.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
And she's like, got legs for days.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, legs for days. But on the other hand, a lot of her fight scenes, there's like a lot of holds. It's not just like endless kicks. It's moves that, for someone of her build, make sense.
Yes. Shock them, disarm them, get them on the floor, put her leg around their neck. It works.
And asking them if they're new to the job first.
I love that. I love that. What a way to disarm them. Are you new? You seem new.
Oh yeah, like it's that calm. Are you new here? You seem like this is your first week, and you're in the audience going, "Oh, we know what's coming next."
Yep. You poor boy. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And of course, seeing Queenie, that would be Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Seeing Queenie, and then seeing Statham and his character, and you're like, okay, I can kind of see the mother-son thing, but then Vanessa comes in, and it's just, oh,
yep,
yeah,
that's totally a mini-me. So they did really good on that. I loved the casting. I loved the chemistry.
No, and if you don't see it during the movie itself, one of the stingers is the three of them together, and there's a point where they turn and look at the camera. If you don't see it then, I'm sorry, you are blind.
They definitely are like working on a script of those three, and it's just not.
I would hope.
It would kind of be cool to see just the three of them on an offshoot.
That and that kind of level of ridiculous destruction, but in like the quaint English countryside.
Yeah.
And like especially where, if nothing else, the simple fact that anytime Kirby and Statham are together, they're stealing from the Oceans franchise.
Yes.
So much!
Well, it's not like it's doing anything anymore.
To get back to Hobbs and Shaw, there is one thing that we haven't hit yet which needs to be mentioned. Luke Hobbs' mother.
Yes. Fantastic actress, terrific performance. So much of these films and this film in particular seems to be like just setting up next films.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get the English one, but we're definitely going to get like big ol' Samoan Hobbs family adventures. And they have so many kids that they can just peel off into whatever. Just no, give Roman Reigns a film. I don't know why.
Just the fact that the woman who plays The Rock's mother. Is just out Samoans everyone.
She's good with a slipper.
And she threatens to beat them all with a slipper, and you see these, it's just an army of like 6 foot something muscle men, and they all go, ooh.
Well, I mean, considering that we see one of her shoes connect with somebody, so we've already got it established that she's got good aim.
She's quite good at it.
They're probably used to being hit with her shoes.
Yeah.
Like there's a few parts where Yeah.
Oh,
you mean the helicopter crash?
The helicopter crash. That whole section.
Again, pretty much been done in a previous movie.
Yeah.
But the overt blatantness of it, of like these dune buggies that these guys built in a chop shop in the middle of nowhere are perfectly capable of surviving these explosions, and so are they. But these brand new heavily armored SUVs, paper. Doesn't matter.
Well, you know, there's a reason why Hobbs Custom Jobs has a lot of good clientele because they make shit to last.
That, yeah, like, and
where are you getting this work done? Oh, it's some, like, garage in the middle of the Samoan jungle? It'll be fine, don't worry, they'll deliver it by Tuesday.
I don't know if y'all caught this, but the product placement.
That was so weird.
Like there were points where the camera would just blatantly go to
the emblem.
A Pepsi logo or the emblem on Statham's McLaren car, which actually, as I understand it, that three seats in a row design is actually like the original design for that brand of car. They went to a more standard design for a while, but I think his is like an anniversary edition.
Push it. Push
Look, I live on IMDb trivia, okay? And, like, that was one thing. I've done enough Michael Bay movies to survive that.
And that's what it made me think of, that last, not the last Terminator, but Transformer.
Yeah.
That occurred in China, and they constantly did the shots of that, like, coconut milk drink. That you can't get here. It's a Chinese, yeah, like, product placement. But it was so overt constantly that's immediately what I thought of.
But the fact that they gave that same overt product placement to Hobbs Customs was just kind of amazing.
Well, I mean, you know that they're all going to be driving their own vehicles. Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, like, that is not a complaint.
I did like the overt, just every time a new car would join that line, they'd just be like, Chevy, Buick.
And after each one, it would go, Chevy, Hobbs Customs, Buick, Hobbs Customs. But also, speaking of, like, the vehicles in this film, Brixton's motorcycle.
Oh, I love that.
It was even cooler than the Batpod.
I have been calling for this franchise to cross over with the Transformers for so damn long that literally the first time Brixton's bike comes on screen and you see the way it moves,
first
you
of all,
see the way the fact that it pilots itself.
It's driverless, yeah.
Yeah.
The sound effects that they use with it, that I swear I actually heard in a Transformers movie.
And there are some moments when it does things where it, like, it changes shape.
When it goes into the truck is the first time you see it.
Yeah. Or when he does that weird roll thing to get back on it, and it, like, slides down, and they both come up at some point, and it's like, something just happened. I don't know how.
Well, I mean, he is a cyborg, so maybe he's connected to the vehicle.
Yeah.
One would assume.
Maybe! But, like, either way, I had, like, first of all, I watched this with a friend, and pretty much every time this thing is on screen, I just leaned over to her, like, I am just waiting for this thing to actually goddamn transform. And I'm also in the back of my mind going, oh, you fucking cock teases.
Oh, God, imagine if there had been a post-credit scene where, all right, Idris Elba, his body is dead, but his brain is in the bike.
Can we start calling it Kit?
Yes! I mean, like, final thing before we go into ratings, like, just the simple fact that as much as we've veered away from this movie to other franchises repeatedly, like, you can plug, especially this film, into, like, this is the most headcanon film to ever headcanon.
Yeah, easily.
In the history of cinema.
Easily.
No matter what insane story idea Tumblr comes up with, it will make sense. And that alone is a beautiful thing. And, like, not only that, we've mentioned the chemistry between Hobbs and Shaw, who are possibly the greatest buddy cop pairing since Lethal Weapon, Tango and Cash, take your pick. Like, since anything in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the fact that their idea of pranking each other involves special screenings at airport customs and SWAT teams is, on the one hand, so very wrong, but on the other hand, kind of perfection.
Yeah, the level of it is just wonderful. And that I guess is, like, everything that is good about this film is simply because at no point were they like, should we tone it down? And if you ask that question, first someone slaps you, then you get fired, then they go back to the source, and they crank it up more!
I mean, well, like I said earlier, this is a Bond movie on crystal meth. Like, there is literally... there is no better way, really, to describe this than that. As much as some of the more recent Bond movies try to tone it down and go more realistic.
Yeah, this one said, hey, do you remember Die Another Day? Let's make that look tame.
I didn't know that Bond could be done realistic.
It's relatively toned down. The Daniel Craig stuff is so relatively toned down.
Okay, then.
Yeah. If you go back and watch, like, Pierce Brosnan and especially Roger Moore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, like, this is Roger Moore era Bond.
Oh, my God, yes.
If that was completely unrestrained.
So,
ratings, take two.
Yay, technology.
And I have no problem being utterly open about that because it's not like it's the first time we've lost footage. Okay, first time outside of a Marvel movie, but still. So, anyway, in terms of ratings, I'm going to be giving it a 4 out of 5. As I previously mentioned, the movie does pull from previous films in the franchise a lot. And, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just one of those things where, for me, just because I can see it so readily, it's a little distracting. But on the other hand, again, this movie is just batshit insane. The chemistry between the leads is glorious, and I've often heard in the past that idea that having to turn off your brain in order to enjoy a movie doesn't necessarily make that movie acceptable, and I would say this is the perfect example of a movie that would dispute that. I would instead say you shouldn't have to do that every movie, but every once in a while you should be able to go to a movie for the sole purpose of having a good time. Mm-hmm. And as I think I'd also mentioned earlier, where for me this was something where I went to the movie with a friend who I invited specifically because I knew that she had been recently having problems with depression, and movies for me are one of the things that I use to deal with mine, specifically because, best case scenario, I've been able to distract myself enough that by the end of the movie, I've basically mentally reset, or worst case scenario, I've at the very least been able to give my brain a bit of a break. And when I met up with her in the theater, I could tell that she was good, but not necessarily in the best of headspaces. And when I'm the one who can see it, that's kind of saying something. Because, yeah, not something I necessarily spot right off the bat. But we were easily the two loudest people in the theater, and to the point that I honestly apologize to anyone who was in the audience with us. we were literally laughing our asses off the entire time, and she's probably the only person I've ever met who's more familiar with the franchise than I am. So there were points where we were just going like, check, check. But the most important thing is, by the time this thing was done, we had both been laughing our asses off for at least a solid 90 minutes. We were both smiling from ear to ear, having had a great time. And the fact that this movie could do that, like particularly for her, is a beautiful thing. And also in part have like this thing, as much as I can't go to a 5, this did also meet and exceed my expectations in pretty much every way. And so I guess, you wanna go, Mickey?
Sure, I'm gonna give it a 3.5 because this is the first time I've seen this franchise in like a decade to start with. And it definitely, it lived up to its potential there. That lull in the middle is why I'm not pushing it any further. But I know that the reason that lull wasn't interesting to me is because I haven't seen the other ones. And so it's like that context heavy, like, oh, we should talk about this for a moment. We should reference this for a moment. I'm sure it would have been just like a second act of just, oh, yeah, and then they mentioned it. Oh, yeah, and then they referenced this. It would be exciting if I had seen it. So I'm not going to really fault it for that. So 3.5.
No, that's entirely fair. Like, There's also the simple fact that this movie does at points try to do character development and so forth, which is not really something you come to this franchise for.
No, I was just going to say that's very rare in a dick movie that you get character development, so that was a good thing. I'm having a difficult time coming up with a rating for this one. Having seen, again, 2.5 Fast and Furious movies, I went in with kind of low expectations for the movie itself, but the cast, I mean, I love Idris Elba, and I like Vanessa Kirby. Jason Statham is one of my guilty pleasures. So I had higher expectations because of the cast. Yeah. Seeing Helen Mirren just jump that right up, I wasn't expecting to see her. Seeing Ryan Reynolds, okay, so now we're getting into a good frame of mind for this, okay. Did I enjoy the movie? Yes. I very much enjoyed it, surprisingly so. I laughed. There were a few places where I'm like, but it wasn't because I was lost because I hadn't seen the other movies. It was just, again, what did I just miss? Or like the guy, the voice.
Yeah.
Some of his speech was garbled. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, back play in my mind. What did he just say? What did I just miss? I think the only real complaint that I had was one of the final scenes where one of the final fight scenes, the camera was doing this funky thing where it was trying to follow the action. Mm. And like that was kind of nauseating.
Yeah. They do the close up and quick cut thing. That's kind of a Hollywood standard in fight scenes.
But it wasn't just the close-up. It was like the camera was actually being worn by somebody, and they were, you know, that's the way that was how it felt. Aside from that, it did feel organic. There wasn't a lot of forced stuff. And Vanessa, I love you. I want to see more of you.
Yeah,
definitely. I liked it more than a 3.5. I don't know that I liked as much as a 4.
Oh, that's fair.
We might need new placards.
Again.
Well, so with that, I guess that's a wrap for this week. And I say this week because we'll be back next week, barring any unrelated studio disasters.
Don't invite the Fates, good lord.
Hey, again, it's not going to be a Marvel movie, so our odds are better. Instead, next week, we'll be looking at Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Danny Trejo as Boots. We have to. Until next week, you can find me at local community events around the city with Halcon's cosplay group. If this goes up beforehand, you'll find us in the Natal Day Parade this coming Monday. You'll find me also in our Pokemon Go Community Day videos, if we're still doing them. Because at this point, I honestly have no idea. Paula, what do you have coming up?
Oh, the 11th, I have an event with Independent Living Nova Scotia. It's the Art of Independent Living. So there's a whole bunch of artists and vendors and crafters and whatnot that are going to be there. That's going to be at Historic Properties, the Alexander's, the wharf there.
Okay.
The market. So that's the 11th from 2 until 3. It's a very short event. Decaf is on my list, but I've been waitlisted, so I'm waiting to hear back from them. And that's the 18th. And that's it for this month.
Alrighty.
I always forget about Decaf. I need to go this year. I even have like a coffee holder from Decaf somewhere around here.
You've got and paper that one, there.
Yeah.
I love the designs. As for where I am, in my basement. Yesterday I released a video on my Gender is Cinema talking about the hate mail that Joan of Arc used to write to people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to see that just for the sheer what?
She bitch hated people, and she used to send them letters being like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that honestly sounds amazing. But with that, we'll see everybody next week, where I already know that I am going to be arguing the science of a joke in the Dora movie that I can discount based on personal experience.
Oh my.
It's as insane as it sounds.
Yo soy impresivo.
So stay tuned for that, and see everybody next week.